it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from BB's Tex Orleans and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
There we go. That's right. We are live on a Football Friday, 1 hour down, but we got three more to go. So that means you got time to make your way on out here on a Friday. As the big voice man said, we're at BB's here in Katy, right off 99. You need to make your way out here. You can win our we're doing glasses. We're doing a series of glasses, four of them, our commemorative glasses that you could take. Last week we gave away the first 50 who arrived, Payne and Pendergast glass. This week it is in the loop. You need to come to all four of our first four events. You can get all four of them. Next week will be us and then Area 45 in the fourth week. But today you can get a beautiful glass of John Lopez and Figgy Fig. His hair on that glass is a beaut. I don't know if you've seen it. And then obviously our guy Reggie in the building as well. Next week I look like my father-in-law. So that's great on the glass. It does look just like my father-in-law's photo. But come on out. Not just that. You also got gift cards to Academy Sports and Outdoors. Our good friends at Tomball Ford are going to hook you up with a free oil change. We're going to do that here in the 3 o'clock hour. And then Texans tickets. You can win a pair of Texans tickets later on, 5 o'clock hour. So we're going to make you wait. You got to be in the building to win those Texas tickets, courtesy of our good friends at Houston Area Ford Dealers. Oh, I thought you was about to step out and say something.
I was just thinking how we can get B. Scott on a glass.
B. Scott.
I think B. Scott should have his own glass at the end. Boss man, if you're listening, you need to. I don't know how much money them glasses cost, but B. Scott needs to go and go.
We need
B.
Scott at
the
end.
Like his own one?
He is literally the online presence. Yeah, I mean, he handles all the social media, online presence. He contributes to every show. Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, B. Scott should have his first his own glass. Absolutely.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
Yeah, and you can inscribe that on it.
Parker, I think you should have your own glass. Give yourself an own glass. Your golf swing.
In quotes under B. Scott, I don't see no bitches anywhere around here.
Ron over here, A. Brown knows and trying to get the boss man his own glass kind of deal. Hell, why don't you just shoot for the top? Won't you just get Sarah? Won't you just get Sarah?
Oh, he does that enough with her Jayhawk fandom. He does that enough already.
She got enough.
Yeah, get you a little Jayhawk on there.
I'm just trying to get us to 17 weeks.
If you on Brown Nose, shoot to the top, man.
17 weeks. That's me, Brown Nose.
No, that was not.
That's me. That's me. Brown Nose. That's how people view me.
Yo, man.
All right, come on out here and hang out with us. Get you some good food. Get you some drinks. And it'll be a good time. Again, we're here till 6 o'clock on this Football Friday. All right, Clint, C.J. Stroud, he spoke to the media yesterday, and he talked about in response to the question of kind of the outside noise, things that's going around and circulating. The conversation in particular around him is picking up and starting to move. We talked about it yesterday, maybe the honeymoon period a little bit is sliding over, and I think fans and people are having more expectations for him. Here was CJ as he is handling the outside noise.
Yeah, I don't care, to be honest. I've gotten so used to people loving you when you're up, hating you when you're down. It's just how, you know, like, just people, this entertainment business operates, you know. So I try to think of my value as like what God sees me as, my family, my friends, my teammates. And that helps me stay level headed because, like, I think it's a lie when people say words don't hurt. Like, there's a reason why we go to church and hear a sermon. There's a reason why we like music. There's a reason why, you know, like, we go to see comedians do their thing. We laugh. Like, words do have effect. So, like, for me, I try not to just look at it and, like, try to just stay, like, kind of like a horse and, like, just vision, like tunnel vision. So, I've learned to not love the love or not hate the hate. And it's really helped me. And I try to tell my family, they get all mad and stuff. But, like, you know, at the end of the day, that's everybody's entitled to their opinion, right on to them. But I can control what I can control, and that's, you know, what I do on the field. And everybody, like I said, is entitled to what they think.
All right, I did that yesterday when I heard that horse laugh. confusion. You don't remember that yet?
What are we doing?
I heard the tunnel vision. I see it. Tunnel, a horse, tunnel vision.
I mean, how long was that cut? How long was that cut, Tyler?
A minute and 6 seconds.
Minute six, and I imagine you trimmed it up pretty good for something we don't care about.
I actually didn't get to, or I would have had a little shorter, but yeah, I appreciate your confidence.
Tunnel vision. Of course. All right, Secretary.
Makes sense, but when you hear it, it's so awkward.
He said it like it was maybe it's a normal saying. It's the first time I've heard
it. Here's the deal with CJ, though. Like, do you think that is a because I think it'd be one of two things. Do you think CJ's just like not real comfortable communicating those lines, or do you think CJ is trying to toe the line because he may have went a little bit overboard in that post game presser talking about, you know, guys didn't practice well, and he may have gotten a little talking to on that front end. So now all of a sudden he's over here he's over here philosophizing.
No, I don't think so, because if you listen, CJ's done some stuff like that. He's there's over the last couple of years. He's
oh yeah, no,
he's
yeah, there's no
he slides him in,
and it's not good. Huh? I mean, it's not. I mean, it has nothing to do with football. It's nothing to do with football. But I'm just like, I mean, that's rough.
From the football.
I mean, in the locker room. I don't know about the locker room now because times have changed clearly.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
But I'm gonna tell you, man. If I'd have went to the presser with that right there, with that horse comment and all of the job, I mean, I'd have got roasted in the locker room.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
they'd have been calling me Mr. Ed for a month. I mean, I would have got roasted.
If anyone on the Texans is listening, they got an idea now.
I mean, do we still roast in the locker room? Is that still acceptable in the world?
I believe we do.
I mean, do we?
I believe they do. Okay. I believe they do. But from the football part of it, I don't believe him that it doesn't bother him. I think it all bothers him. I think it bothers him. I think he watches last night and sees, damn, look at Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Look at what he's doing. I know I'm better than that dude. Last year, this time, everybody was talking about me as the next guy. Look at Jaden Daniels, how they're talking about him. Like, look at hell, you picked him as your MVP this year. Look at Jaden Daniels, how people.
Last night was a rough night for my MVP.
Yeah. Still got them two touchdowns for fantasy purposes. but I think he sees what's happening around the league and how he is slowly maybe getting looked differently, and I think that affects him, and that's why, Clint, I think arguably this Sunday is, regular season-wise, it's right up there as one of the most important games for him, because I think people, even in the fan base, for like maybe the first time, I think people are looking like, hey, man, what you going to do here?
Yeah, it's time.
Like, what you going to do here? I know last year we blamed Bobby and stuff, for things, but everybody ain't just looking at Nick Kaley on how Nico Collins wasn't involved in the offense. I think people are now looking like, how did you not get the ball to Nico Collins?
Yeah,
you know, and I think that is, and I think he hears that.
Sure,
and I think this game is extremely important.
It's okay. I mean, and it's okay if you do. I was never one that tuned out all the noise. I mean that fueled me. I mean, hell, I told you I had a photographer in my then girlfriend's living room that we were paying to take pictures tell me that I wasn't good enough to play at the next level kind of deal, and that fueled me until the day I quit. I mean, it's okay to hear those things and for that to fuel you. I don't have a problem with that at all. And to your latter point of like looking at CJ of you know, getting Nico the ball, I agree with you. It's got to be it's not a forced deal. It's not a forced deal. It's a, you know, if it doesn't happen early, if it, like in the first drive, if it doesn't happen, hey, Kaylee, we got to have a conversation. If you're on the sideline, let's have a face to face. If you're in the booth, let's have one on the phone. A conversation has to be had. I mean, it is very common. I think at all levels of football, and definitely in the NFL, it is very common for coordinators to use short motions or quick motions to create a soft corner. and to then throw a speed cut out route or a quick out or a stick route or stack route or snag route, whatever you want to call it. Like, it's very, very common. And if we don't see those, I think C.J. Stroud should be the very first one to take note and go, hey, what the hell are we doing here? Yeah, so I think it's on him as well. Definitely as we move forward here in the season.
Now, I've always thought this that he's played a bigger role than many people have, but we're starting to see it. I know Tyler is on the text line, and I know obviously the text line, YouTube and Twitch isn't everything in the fan base.
It's a good feel.
Or Twitter or social media, but instead of now, it used to be, all right, hey, man, like the offense didn't score 14 points. What did these things do?
Everything but CJ.
Or, hey, man, they couldn't get the ball to Nico Collins. What did this do before they got to him? And now we're starting to see a little bit more and more of, hey, man, you ran into a sack. Or, hey, man, you didn't help this. Or, yo, it looks like, hey, we scored 14 points. We can't blame anybody else. Like, it's got to come to the dude. We're starting to see, I think, him being judged the way that I'm surprised we hadn't gotten here a little bit faster. Not surprised, because CJ saved was a big part of saving this organization from where it was 3 years ago when, as I've said, that televangelist was trying to run the organization and they were in an awful spot. He saved it, so I can understand, but I think now people are turning the corner and looking like, hey, man, like this offense can't
rightfully
score 14
so.
Points or 9 points and not score a touchdown, and we look everywhere else except for at the best player, right?
Yeah.
And we are seeing that load up. I'm seeing it right now on the text line. People, you know, coming through watching the game, you know, CJ has regressed or he's got worse or, you know. We're seeing that a lot more, and I think he sees it, and I think he hears it, and I think if we have another game where this offense struggles and he doesn't look like himself, I think the alarms go off even more.
Well, it's an interesting dynamic here in Houston, right? Is because it's a double-edged sword of a sense of you've got a quarterback that is talented enough to be a franchise quarterback and to make $65 million a year. Think about that for a minute. $65 million a year. You've got a guy that's shown the ability in a short career, 2 years, that's shown the ability to be that guy. You haven't necessarily supported that player the way that he deserves to be supported. That's just the reality of it, right? That's all these things can be true at one time. You have not supported. I said when D'Amico Ryans got hired, when you hire a defensive-minded head coach, the most number one priority is you got a top defense in the league. Number two is you find the right offensive coordinator. They still have – maybe this guy's it, but they still have not done that. It's been rough, right, last year and this year, one game. The support has not necessarily been there. But you're looking at a guy that the expectations, fair or foul, the expectations are to make everything right because we've seen you be a rookie of the year. We've seen you throw for more yards per game and less interceptions than anybody else in a season. We've seen you do that. So the expectations are through the roof. It is a very interesting dynamic. And bottom line is it's life in the NFL. And CJ's the one that's got to make this thing right. I said it a million times. At some point, it's not going to be about whoever D'Amico hires as the offensive coordinator. If you pay a guy $65 million a year, he's got to be able to go to the line of scrimmage and go, hey, man, y'all slide this thing left. I'm going to throw hot off this guy, and boom. At some point, he's got to be the guy that fixes those things. And I think this is a year that he's got to do it. This is a year he's got to earn 65 a year.
Are the Texans in trouble if they go 0-2? And when I mean in trouble, I mean in trouble in terms of maybe making the playoffs, not coming close to reaching their goals. Are they in trouble if they lose this one?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah, look, I think it matters how. I mean, it always matters how.
Because the Bucs are a good football team.
It always matters how. Look, if the Bucs are a good football team. If you go out there and you get into a shootout and you lose it, then you know, hey, that's you probably stomach that one. If the offense goes out there and scores 9 points, 10 points, you're going to have problems. It's just like it's no different than in Detroit right now. Detroit lost their offensive coordinator and their defensive coordinator. They went out and scored 6 points last week. If Detroit, as good as Detroit was a year ago, if they go out and they score 9, 10 points this year,
or this week, yeah.
I'm sorry, yeah, this week, then folks are going to look at Detroit a little bit different. So, yeah, I think it matters how. But I think an 0-2 start is a tough start for anybody that has playoff expectations and damn sure Super Bowl expectations.
Especially if the Colts somehow beat the Broncos.
Yeah.
And if the Jags beat the Bengals. And by the way the Bengals and Broncos played last week, both of those things, and the way that the Jags and Colts played last week, both of those things are doable.
Yeah.
I mean, both of them, teams should have lost to the Browns and the Titans last week, to be honest with you, the way they played. That will also change the way we think of things. Their next four are at the Jags after this week against the Bucks, at the Jags, home Titans, at Ravens, and then at Seahawks. So I don't know if they're in trouble. But again, like you said, if they go out there and we're sitting here under 14 points again, you know, under that, and they're struggling to score points, then, like, yeah, that now the concern level, I think, jumps way up, and you got to look at this team a little differently. All right, coming up, we will fill you in on some injury situations with both the Texans and the Astros. An update on Luis Garcia, we'll let you know of that as we continue coming up next, right here live on the Drive.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from BB's Tex Orleans and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. As Clint is being real specific on that gumbo order, I'm right there with him.
Look, you start talking about tequilas, football, tequila, crawfish, Cajun food in general. I like to feel like I know a little bit more than my wife typically on those topics, just those topics. Coach. Not all the women looked at me like, you're a fool, you still ain't learned? No, just those three topics. And she introduced me to the potato salad in your gumbo instead of rice.
Yeah, I did that
fire
at the booth.
I did not know that was a thing. And I tried it, and I was like, I'm not even a big potato salad guy, but I tried it, and I was like, that's got a little, that adds a little kick to it. I like it.
Yeah. Did it at the boot. I did it in New Orleans, too. And then when Lopez brought that potato salad.
That's right.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing. And you can try it here.
Absolutely.
Amongst other things, as we are live here at BB's, here in Katy, right off 99. Come on out. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Coming up after this segment, somebody will have a chance to win a free oil change to Tomball Ford. You can win a free oil change. That's coming up as soon as this segment ends. If you have not put your name in our raffle box, our guy Shay right there, clap it up for Shay. He's doing a good job.
Big Shay.
Our guy Shay right there has got our raffle box, and you can just put your name in there and have a chance to win. Some injury notes. Let's start with the Astros here, Clint.
Oh, I thought you were going Texans. You got Astros here?
Yeah, we'll get Texans right here. Let's start with the Astros.
Buckle up. It's going to take a minute.
So the big news is Luis Garcia, they've gone ahead and moved him from the 15-day IL to the 60-day IL.
Yep.
With that elbow situation, as we talked about yesterday, we didn't think he was going to – a chance at Hill, he'd return, and that is clear. Oh, Zach Cole, he is being selected, coming back from AAA Sugarland, the outfielder. He'll be back here, and then the Astros personally optioned catcher Cesar Salazar back to AAA Sugarland, and so we lost Salazar, and I'm sure Framber is a wreck.
I hope Framber feels good about himself.
Yeah, he lost the ability to catch him. So those are the moves. Garcia, the big one there, he is, and we'll see how long he is. Somebody texted in yesterday and said, I wonder if Luis Garcia has thrown his last pitch as an Astro. Not sure, but, he just recovered from Tommy John, and now he's back on the 60-day IL. Hopefully it is not that, but we'll see what that is as well. All right. Also here, just going in, Tyler sends us in, Lance McCullers Jr. is not listed on the lineup card. Colton Gordon can only be coming up to replace one player on the injured list. So maybe Lance. You asked yesterday or the last 2 days, what are we going to do with Lance? Lance McCullers, there could be some movement there. We will let you know that when we get more information on that. But that makes a lot of sense from the Texans' perspective. The injury report is officially out. We talked about it a bit earlier. Christian Kirk Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios, receivers, they did not practice for a second straight day, as well as Jake Andrews, who injured his ankle, high ankle sprain in game one against the Rams. And then Blake Fisher, again, full participant. Ed Ingram moving Clint from limited to full go today with that abdomen issue. So it looks like he is tracking to play on Monday night against the Bucs. So I think, listen, especially from the Ed Ingram perspective, that is the best news there. We'll see with Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios. I wouldn't bet on that. But Ed Ingram, that is a big deal, because hopefully that means they'll be able to put guys where they want them to be.
Well, look, if we're ranking problems or problems that I would like to be solved, like in what order, the O-line is one, and there is a large gap between one and two for me. There's a lot of things that they've got to get right. But the offensive line, we're talking long-term ramifications here. We're talking about finding a right guard. If Ed Ingram can play right guard, if he can go in there and play just a solid right guard, right? If he can play a right guard, and if he can run block better than Tytus Howard inside there, which they ran block pretty well last week altogether, and that the ripple effect allows things, it allows luxuries outside. Now you've truly got, if you count the old man Trent, what's his name?
Trent Brown.
Then you've got five. You got five tackles, right? You've got some luxuries at tackles and some ways to. You can literally have, backup left tackle, backup right tackle, depending on how you want to handle this thing. But it all depends on Ed Ingram. So the Ed Ingram deal with him being healthy, I'm probably more optimistic than I should with him, given his track record. But boy, if that works out, man, that is going to be huge for the Texans moving forward. I mean, I think it's huge from your starting five gets better. I think your interior offensive line play gets better. I think your potential of running the football improves. Obviously, your depth at tackle improves. I think you just right away at tackle, you get better players playing that position. So, yeah, this is a big, big deal for the Houston Texans, man. If Ed Ingram can go and he proves to be just a remotely close to being an average interior offensive lineman in the league, it is gonna be a big, big deal for the Texans.
One thing to look at here, and I think Ed Ingram, if he gets in, may help this as well, because, again, guys will be playing in the roles that they expected to play and they practice at the most. I do wonder, and we'll be watching a lot of some of the things that we watch that either is uncharacteristic or just they can't do, and that's the penalties. You can't have double digit penalties.
Sure,
and they've done that before, but you can't have that. We've heard D'Amico speak about that. Stingley's performance, that fits into the uncharacteristic portion of things, and just overall some of the sloppiness. And I think that's what CJ may have been talking about with the famed lollygagging comment. It was week one. The wonder is is that something that really improves as they play more football?
Well, look, I think it's fair to look at the Texans and think that, hey, man, the lack of your starters playing real football in the preseason probably hurt them a bit, as it does a lot of the NFL, because guys just don't play in the preseason. Anytime a team has a slow start, I think it's fair to look back and say, hey, these guys hadn't played a whole lot of quarterback. I mean, a whole lot of football. I know, as I look at C.J. Stroud and people get critical about, well, he should have slid up in the pocket. And I'm critical. I'm okay with being critical. I prefer critical. I don't like that passive stuff. But anyway, like the C.J. Stroud not handling the pocket, the chaos in the pocket as well as D'Amico thinks he should have, that's part of not playing. That's part of, man, as a quarterback, if you're not in the chaos constantly with live bullets flying, the ability to get hit, you're behind.
Yeah.
It's just that easy. If you're not in the pocket and you're not actually having to work the shuffle and the climb in the pocket constantly, and somebody's not beating that into your head at practice every day, then it's hard to just go out there and do it on a Sunday afternoon or a Friday afternoon. You got guys that are going out there tonight and playing tonight that need to do it but can't because it's so early in the season. So it's just quarterback 101 is you got to try to create at practice throughout training camp these scenarios. And the truth is, in today's NFL, they're more worried about not getting guys hurt, not overworking guys. than they are actually creating those environments for them.
I think the sloppiness, that's a fair explanation. I think that's a fair explanation of why we saw that. The penalties, that's something we've been seeing for a few years under DeMeco, where they pop up and they'll have these 10, 11 penalty games. We've seen that. But I do think the other stuff is a fair explanation of why we saw
it. Look, I think when you're talking about pre-snap penalties.
Yeah, those are the ones that really bother
you. You know, those are the ones that are unacceptable. I mean, you get into a game and a guy holds because he's got bad hand placement. Or like you look at Cam Robinson. Like, it wasn't an egregious penalty out of the gate last week. But, you got a guy that's either unhealthy, like he's just not healthy, or he's sick, or he's not ramped up and he's not in shape. One of the three. So when those things are happening, then you reach and you grab and you end up withholding penalties or bad technique, bad mechanics, and that's part of it, right? That's one of the reasons why I think you got to get the guys that are ready to rock and roll out there that can go, and not guys that are just trying to hang on for dear life.
Yeah. All right, coming up as we continue, Saturday, a little college football, and this is a really good week. We've got our Saturday slate. We will give our games of the week. You can text yours in 713-572-4610.
You got YouTube them hogs?
No,
come on,
but it's there. Ole Miss and Arkansas on the road. That'll be a good one. But you can text your games of the week coming up for Saturday college football. We have no idea what Tyler's is. No clue what Tyler's game of the week is going to be. So we're really going to be surprised by what he's going with. But we'll do that as we continue live here at BB's here in Katy. Make your way right off 99. Get your ass out here. It's almost 4 o'clock. Get your ass here. I'm going to be aggressive.
You heard it,
get
man.
Get your ass out here. Get your ass out here.
You heard it, man.
As we continue right here live.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from BB's Tex Orleans and Katy. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Here we go as we are live here on a Football Friday. Again, we're at BB's here in Katy, right off 99. Make your way on out here. And you can get like our guy Eric, who just won him a free oil change. Coming up, we still have a few more $25 gift cards to Academy Sports and Outdoors. Also, Texans tickets that you can win. We'll do that in the 5 o'clock hour. Remember, you have to be present. You have to be present to win any of our prizes. Those Texans tickets, we believe, our home game tickets to the Colts. You got a chance to win that 5 o'clock hour. All you got to do is put your ticket in the raffle box, and you'll have a chance to win. Those Texans tickets are courtesy of Houston area Ford dealers. All right, Clint, before we get to our college football slate, don't get trigger happy yet, Tyler. I'm not ready for the music yet. I get excited. I'm not ready yet. I do want to pass along, Clint, from the Buccaneers' perspective on the injury report, Mike Evans didn't practice today. It was due to rest. I think a big one here, though, to watch is Chris Godwin. He did not practice. He was limited yesterday. He didn't practice at all today. And also Luke Goodkey, the tackle you were talking about.
Yeah.
Second straight day, he didn't practice.
The right tackle, correct?
Yeah, the right tackle. He may not be out. He may be out in this game. He didn't practice the last 2 days. And then Tristan Wirfs, their all-pro left tackle, was limited again. So those are the ones to watch. Hassan Reddick jumped from being limited yesterday, and he was a full participant, another key guy on the outside for them. So that is the latest injury report, not just from the Texans side of things, but from the Bucs. And they may have some issues with their tackle situation. And then Chris Godwin, that's one to watch too. They didn't play in game one. And him going from practicing yesterday to not practicing at all is an interesting sign.
Well, they are an absolute bear when they're fully healthy. When they got both of their tackles healthy, when they've got all three of their wide receivers, counting the youngster that they drafted this year out of Ohio State, they are an absolute problem offensively, yep. Man. I mean, in the pass world, I don't know how well they're going to run it all year long, but in terms of throwing the football and being aggressive down the field, they are an absolute monster. But you got two tackles that at the very least are going to be hobbled. You got one of the wide receivers that is hobbled as well, and Godwin, as you mentioned. So that'll slow them down just a little bit. It's interesting how this thing's going to match up. You look at our tackles versus really Reddick. Reddick had a big game-changing sack last week. You know, our tackles versus him, I think, is a big-time matchup. And then their tackles whoever it is, either banged up starters or backups versus our defensive ends. I mean, that will absolutely change the game on both sides of the football. Those defenses can absolutely change the game in a major way. So those are matchups to watch. It's a Monday night game, so this is not the final injury report.
No,
but it is very telling who's practicing and who's not.
All right, let's get it. Our Saturday slate coming through. I'm watching and seeing some folks text in Colorado and Houston tonight. Yeah, that'll be a good one. I know Dion is changing quarterbacks here, so that'll be one to watch as well. You can text in what's your game of the week, your college football game of the week. We do it every Friday, our Saturday slate. Tyler, I think we know where you are. We'll save you for last because you actually, I'm guessing, have the game of the day. But
you're probably Clint, thinking the right way, for sure.
All right, Clint, what's your game of the weekend that you're really into?
I'm into a lot of them. Yeah, the Florida LSU game is sexy. I mean, you talk about a monster game for coaching, job security, or in the national landscape for both of those programs. That's a monster one, but I've got to go with the Georgia at Tennessee game. This one fascinates me. I mean, it's a monster game. Look, I view Tennessee as one of the powerhouses in the SEC, but the quarterback situation at Tennessee just fascinates the hell out of me. Last year, and I don't know all the details, but last year, the quarterback that was there took them to the college football playoffs, and word on the street is leading up to the college football playoffs, his representation, whether that's his family or his NIL, his agent, whatever, started some rumblings about pay us more money or we're not going to play in the college football playoffs, like holding the program hostage. Like, that's about as bad as it can get as a player and what they do to a team. And, again, I don't know all the details of it.
Didn't look real good for him at UCLA last year.
Well, that's where I was going with it, right? So he bounces, ends up taking, a million-dollar hit going to UCLA. They clean it all up by saying, yeah, but I'm closer to my family and all this stuff. I'm going to tell you what, $1 million, I can get real close to my family whenever I want. I can bring them to me if I want to for $1 million. But, that whole dynamic, they had to go out. He really left them in a bad spot, and they had to go out and get a quarterback last second. They bring a guy in. Nobody thought he was going to be very good. He's playing really well. The program, they feel good about it early in the year. And if they can beat Georgia at home with this quarterback, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a great game. It's a bunch of great games. I think the storyline of the quarterback situation at Tennessee is really fascinating.
And we don't know a lot about Georgia right now. We don't know what they've played.
Right, right. And for people that are in, a lot of people that are my age and older are put out with the whole NIL and the transfer portal and not being a man of your word and all those kind of things. I think that resonates with a lot of older college football fans, and it does with me for sure. And so I would pick the Georgia-Tennessee game just because the fascination with that quarterback situation of the old boy that bounced. They're not going to win very many games at UCLA. He took a hit, and it's really all up to if this kid at Tennessee now can play well, boy, it's really going to be pie on the face of old boy that bounced. And I don't know. I mean, he's a kid. I mean, it's not a major ordeal, but there's that extra layer there with that game for me. And it's Tennessee, so if they lose, I win there as well.
I know you feel that. All right, Tyler, before we get to your game, I'll go Florida LSU. You talked about it a bit. I've never seen a coach get fired on the field, and I feel like it's in the cards for Billy Napier. I think if Billy Napier loses that game, he's done. And he probably should lose that game. Maybe if it's tight, maybe if it's close. He survived a tight one with Tennessee last year when it looked like he was on the – he was on beyond hot seat, and then they were able to turn it around, but they lost at home to South Florida. And South Florida is a good team. They're one of the games that matches two ranked teams as they go to Miami. But that was embarrassing, 18-16, and you're an offensive guru like you're supposed to be. And then LSU. LSU had a great first win against Clemson, and they are in damn sure playoff championship or bust. And they need to follow that up at home, and they can't lose to this Florida team. So that one's the game that I'm really looking at to see what happens with the coaches there and to see where LSU is.
Well, what a hell of a quarterback matchup. I mean, the Nussmeier kid has a chance to be the best quarterback in college football. We'll see how it all unfolds. I think he's got a chance to be the best passer in college football, and we'll see what that looks like. But he's in that conversation,
yeah.
You know, and in Florida, you know, I mean, they got a kid from right around the corner here, DJ Lagway. So I mean, they've got a local kid here. So that quarterback matchup is going to be fun to watch there in that ball game.
Where's DJ from?
Porter.
Okay.
Is it Porter?
I'll look it up.
Up on the north. It's the north side somewhere, but.
All right, Tyler, we know yours is A&M and Notre Dame.
Here we go.
All right. Hey, let's. I trust you. How? What's your real thoughts about this game, Tyler, as they go on the road? Shout out to Andy's wife walking in. Tyler, what's your thoughts of this game?
Well, let me paint a picture for you, Ron.
Oh, here we go.
It's Saturday night. Them lights are bright up there at Notre Dame. And the number 16 Aggies are coming in to face off against number 8, the Fighting Irish. And the Aggies are winning this ball game, boys. And I'm telling you now, this is the turning point. Right now today, you can shut a lot of people up who've been talking, rightfully so. But the Texas A&M Aggies have not won on the road against a top 10 opponent since 2014. That stat's been floating around all week. It's real. It's there. Change it, man. Change it. Maroon and White going to Notre Dame. This is your game of the week. It's going to be awesome. Sean Pendergast is going to be upset. But Aggies win this one, man. And we'll talk more about that later in the show, I'm sure. But
Listen, they're clearly underdogs. But what's the line in that, Tyler? I know I'm certain it make an appearance.
I think it's moved. I think it's climbed a little bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's somewhere around six or seven.
Six and a half, I think. Yeah, six and a half on that as A&M are underdogs. Listen, I think this game is winnable. Notre Dame is good, and I think their quarterback is a lot better than I thought he was going to be. I thought it may be a little slow for C.J. Carr, but he looked pretty good on the road against Miami. But I do think this game is winnable for A&M. We'll see if they can go and do that, but I think it is winnable for them.
For sure it
is. Oh, no, look, A.T., it is absolutely winnable, but it depends on one thing. Marcellus Reed, right? I mean, 100%. Is it Marcel, not Marcellus? I put a us on there, didn't I?
It's Marcel
Reed.
Might be his legal name,
but I like that.
Yeah, maybe his real name. Maybe he shortened it.
I like
it.
Marcellus.
But y'all are Arkansas is in a very similar position as Texas A&M. And easy Aggies. I know y'all beat us 11 to the last 12 or whatever. Relax. I'm just talking ball here.
We'll play soon enough. Okay.
Like your ultimate, like the floor for both programs, I think is higher than typical, right? Because you got an athletic ability that's not going to allow teams lesser than you to beat you. You got an athletic ability that's going to keep you in games that maybe you probably shouldn't be in, but yet you've got a QB with the athletic ability. If they develop and start spinning around the park when the game, you know, demands them to do that, then all of a sudden you've got a program at A&M, not so much Arkansas, but you got a program at A&M that can compete for national titles. You got a program, both of those kids could end up in a Heisman conversation if they can win enough games. So it's very, very similar of yes, it's been really good at A&M to start the season. Yes, it's been really good at Arkansas from a quarterback perspective to start the season. Those guys have been the best athletes on the field. When they stack them up against a defense that is as good as your guys, does that athletic ability still stand out? Does their ability to spin the rock, you know, take them to the next level, right? That's what's beautiful about this Saturday for both of those games, man. Arkansas, Ole Miss, Notre Dame, A&M. You're going to find out this week if your quarterback can legitimately take you to a 10, 11, 12 win season and potentially for A&M a national title hunt or not.
I hear Tyler. They beat LSU last year, but can you win a big game? Can you win a big game that you're not supposed to win? Can you go out doing? Yep. They got it out in front of them. What you got coming?
Yeah.
Up?
Well, we got some good news on the injury front with the Texans, and that puts me in a spot. I'll tell you what that good news is, but it puts us at a spot where there's got to make a decision along that offensive line on one side or the other. And I don't know which one are you going with? Which tackle are you going with? We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.